Open up to Matthew 28. I want to talk tonight about the authority of the believer. See, the devil's job is to develop in us a victim mentality. And he is going to try and beat you up so hard and for so long, and you may battle for 30 years. I'm trying to be what seems like 30 years, you know. But then eventually, he doesn't care if it takes 30 years. He doesn't care how long it takes, you know. But he's eventually wanting you to change your mindset from a victorious, warring Christian to a punching bag for the devil. And always not knowing how to get victory for yourself. See, and that's a big part of it there. If he can always have you in those battles trying to get victory for yourself, you're not worth a whole lot getting victory for somebody else. Really, we're supposed to walk in the victory that the Lord obtained for us, and then also bring that victory to people who don't know about that yet. And that's part of the good news. Amen? So, staying scriptural with it, though, we want to look at the authority of the believer, and what does the Bible have to say about that? Well, my favorite verse on that subject is here in, right at the end of Matthew 28. It says, we'll start in verse 16. The verse I'm after is 18. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. They're looking right at him, worshipping him, and some still doubted. Well, I don't want to be too hard on them. I might would have too, you know, if I'd have saw him crucified on the cross and laid in a grave. Anyway, Jesus came and he spake unto them, and he said, all power. Everyone say all. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. And I like that saying. It says, when you find the word therefore, find out what it is therefore. Well, in this case, it's there because of what he just got through saying. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And because of that, for that, because that is an established absolute truth. Now I want you to go in my name. See? You go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. Well, in the Greek language, there's two Greek words that are commonly translated as power. One of them means exactly that, just raw power. The Greek word is dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S. It's where we get our English word dynamite. And it just means exactly that, explosive, raw, unmitigated power, the kind of power like would be in dynamite. The other Greek word is exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A. And that's the one that's used here. And it's most commonly translated in newer versions as authority. Now, there's nothing wrong with authority. Because if you've got the authority, that's what brings the power. You got that? See, the Holy Spirit is really the agent of power. We've taught on that extensively. Jesus said, the Son of Himself can do nothing. He said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, in one of the Gospels. In another one he says, if I cast out devils by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is the hand of God. He is the finger of God. I like to call him the molecule changer. He is the one that was hovering over the dark and the deep in Genesis 1, where darkness covered the face of the earth and the earth was without form and void, and that's not what God wanted. Well, it says the Spirit was... He was like hovering and brooding over the waters. He's the one that when God the Father conceived it, and then the Word spoke it, in the Hebrew it says, light be. And then it says, light was. Don't you love that? I just love that. Anyway, it's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that was there. He's the molecule changer. He's the one, the Word gave the authority, and the Holy Spirit performed the power. Can you say it that way? So when Jesus says, all authority is given unto me, in heaven and in earth, that means that, and there you go, therefore, because it is given unto me. In other words, so now you go in my name. He has no other body on planet earth but us. Okay? So we're supposed to go fully authorized by the head of the church, fully authorized by more than the head of the church. See, Adam, the original Adam, God gave him dominion over all the works of his hands, gave him dominion over the earth. As far as I can tell, Adam never had dominion in heaven. But Jesus has dominion in heaven and in earth. We're going to look, in fact, we'll just go ahead and look at it now. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. And Paul went to great lengths to try and give us some glimpse of the authority that we're supposed to be walking in. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. I hope I give you the right chapter this time. Not like I did this morning. I was going, what in the world is going on? I didn't usually take them that long. I hear pages turning and turning and turning. Oh yeah, I gave them the wrong chapter. No wonder they can't find it, you know. Now this is that wonderful prayer that Paul offered up for the church at Ephesus. You know, he would offer up this same prayer for the church at Tulsa or the church in New York or wherever any believers are. We'll pick it up starting in verse 16, Ephesians 1:16. It said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Isn't that, I love the way that's phrased. Not the eyes of your spirit. The eyes of your understanding. I'm telling you, the church goes around most of the time like we're blindfolded. I mean, the devil is just beating the snot out of us. You know, all sides, you know, us, our kids, our finances, our bodies, our jobs. And we're like blinded to what's really going on. I got an email from a precious sister. Just a sister in the Lord in another state, been diagnosed with a real serious disease, real serious. And yet she was still wavering a little bit about exactly what to do, you know. And I emailed her back. I said, fight it like you would a rattlesnake. What do you mean wavering? This is like a snake from hell come to kill you. You know, what do you mean you don't know what to do? I'm telling you what to do. You get your mouth in gear. You take authority over that thing. Drive it out of your body and drive it out of your house. I said, if you saw a rattlesnake, if you had children, you know, we think about Lily, you know, she sleeps in her little pen, you know, she's, what, 14, 15 months old now. I mean, Aaron weighs, what, 108 pounds or something? Not very big, you know, I don't know how much. Aaron, if I'm way off, I apologize. I'm on ground where angels fear to tread now. I already messed up. There's no getting out of it now. I'm already in trouble. I don't know. But all I'm trying to say is she doesn't weigh much, you know. But if she was to walk in there and see a rattlesnake, it could be a big one. It could be 8 foot long. I mean, you know, giant rattlesnake headed towards her baby's bed. I mean, that rattlesnake will think God himself has come down. I mean, my mother one time, who was not very big, one time we lived over here, close to, you know, these hills, where like where Channel 8 is, we used to live over close to there, and we'd get varmints come down off of those hills, you know. Plus, we had ponds close by, and so we'd get water moccasins up near the house. I saw my mom one time grab a hoe, go running out there, and she chopped that water moccasin. It was about 6 foot long. That thing was, she chopped it up in little bitty pieces, you know. And here's my little saintly mom that would never hurt a fly, but boy, something was coming to attack her family. She didn't go, oh God, what should I do? She grabbed the hoe, cut that thing up. But see, we go around half blind all the time, you know. Well, I wonder what I should do. It's a devil! Fight it! God's not putting that sickness and stuff on you. That's a devil! So he says he wants the eyes of our understanding, the blinders to come off of our mind. I like it. The eyes of your understanding, that's your mind, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Well, just how great is that power, Paul? Well, it's according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That same power. Look what, now we don't normally connect it up, see? Isn't that wonderful, the power and at his own right hand. Wait a minute. He wants us to understand the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. You mean the same resurrection? When I got born again, no, Brother Gary, I just made a decision. I just went down to the altar. Maybe you knelt in your living room, and I just told God I was a sinner and asked him to come into my heart, and there wasn't any exceeding greatness. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead quickened you from death unto life. You are not a normal human. You've got to get this straight. You are not just an old sinner saved by grace. You are not a child of Adam that's been forgiven. You have been spawned from the loins, the spiritual loins of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second man, the last Adam. You are a species of human that never existed on the earth before. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead quickened your spirit from death unto life. God bless America and Jesus and every and heaven. Hallelujah. I'm getting a hanky. But that's the eyes. Our understanding has got to be. See, it's great right now, but tomorrow you got to face down that Sears bill. Tomorrow, I mean, this last week I had a great deliverance for my car. Well, it started vibrating terribly, you know, and I'm thinking, oh God, you know, here comes the devil's flip chart. Well, the transmission's going out. No, the transmission. No, the rear end's going out of it. What? No, the rear end's not going out of it. Well, it's probably the flywheel, you know. No, it's going to be something simple and inexpensive in Jesus' name, you know. See, he does the same thing with your body. he goes, probably cancer. No, it's not cancer. Well, it's leukemia. No, it's not leukemia. You had a little cough or a little sniffle, you know. So he'll do his flip chart, seeing what you believe. By the way, it turned out to be U-joints. Hallelujah. It was real easy, you know. And the car is smooth again now, and hallelujah. But I've been through that with my own body. You know what, Sue and I always go, no, it's gas. If you hang around us, I'll see her, something will happen, I'll see her, you know, just could be anything at different points in your life, just something. You go, you know, just at my age now, you get up out of a chair, you know. And I go, honey, are you all right? It's just gas. Now, I don't care, because it will pass. See, gas is temporary. But I tell you, see, and I don't care if the pain is in my thumb. It's gas. Well, Gary, how's that been working for you? Well, you know, we've been living without insurance since 1995. You know, been doing pretty good. You know, I've had wonderful opportunities not to believe. I have passed up tremendous opportunities to fail at this. But it's just gas. Don't fall for the devil's flip chart. But we do that. See, it's wonderful. Oh, you're spawned from the spiritual loins of the last man, Adam. And I get the white hanky. Yeah. But tomorrow, oh, a pain. Or, oh, I got a pink slip from my job. I'm a victim. Oh, you know, bad news of some kind, you know. I like this. They were telling me this lady over here had surgery Wednesday, went to Walmart Saturday. Glory to God, in church on Sunday. Hallelujah, you know.
Yes, Lord.
Praise God, you know. Well, thank God for anointed surgery. Praise God for it, you know. Hallelujah. But we are not victims. Look at what this says again now. He wants the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened. Verse 19 again. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Who believe? What is that power like? Well, it's according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, we can come down here. Yes, it's in the same book. Now, see, you don't have any problem seeing Jesus this way. Jesus is far above. Everyone say far above. Not just above, see. It's far above. Well, what's he above? All principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, before we even go to the next verse, isn't that wonderful about Jesus? Man, isn't it wonderful that he is above all principality and power and might? Can't you just see him? Close your eyes. See him. There's God the Father. There's the throne. Seated right at his right hand is the Lord Jesus. There he is, isn't he? Seated in heavenly places. All far above. Not just above. Far above. All power and might and dominion and every name that's named. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Come right on down in chapter 2. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Well, that's great. By grace you're saved. And hath, is that present tense, future tense, past tense? That's past tense. Hath, has, you could say, has already raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, we don't have any problem seeing him seated there, far above. The truth of the matter is, far as God's concerned, we are seated there with him. The best example I have of this one is when God was delivering me from the legality of tithing. Now, I'm not against tithing if what you're saying about, Gary, do you believe I should give 10% of my income? I believe that's a good place to start. Okay? What I'm against is legalistic tithing, or them putting you back under the law, or telling you you're under a curse, when the Bible, Galatians, plainly tells you Jesus already took that curse. Okay? But I do believe in giving. I believe in giving a lot. Okay? Now, God was in the process of delivering me from that, because like you, I had, you know, they would always say, well, you know, I don't care what kind of problem you had, the answer was always, you're not giving enough. Okay? One time I was praying, this is one of those teaching visions, some of you heard it, some of you haven't. Minding my own business, and all of a sudden I'm standing in front of this giant castle. Somehow I knew it was the castle in heaven where God lives. Okay? Just, how do you know those kind of things? I don't know. I just know. It's this big castle. It looked like an English castle, you know, the kind you've seen in medieval times. And I'm standing in front of this window. How many of you know in Malachi it says that he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it? Well, I'm standing there. Trouble is, this window of heaven was shut. And I needed it to be open. And, you know, Lord, what have I got to do? I want this window of heaven to open, you know. I need the blessings to come out of that window. Suddenly there was a preacher standing there. It wasn't any particular preacher, just like a TV preacher. And the preacher says, well, your problem is, he said, what you need to do is throw money at the window. Throw money at the window. So I'm getting ready to throw my money. He says, wait just a minute. And he went and got a bucket, his bucket, and he put it down at the bottom of the window. Okay? So I'm standing there, and in this vision, I'm throwing the money at the window. I'm taking my money, and I'm throwing it at the window, and it's not moving at all. And he says, I go, it's not working. He says, you're not giving enough. He went and got another bucket, put it in. You need to give more. So here I am. I'm throwing all this money, and I'm commanding. I'm making my confession, and I'm commanding the windows of heaven. I'm commanding the windows of heaven to open. It's because I need his abundance. You know, we all want his abundance, you know. Then all of a sudden, I don't know how this happened. Suddenly I just kind of quit. And I start looking through the window. I'm looking on through on the inside. And I'm looking through there, and I can see the throne through that window. Oh, the other thing I did, I remember now. The window was all, it was like an old-fashioned window in a frame house. The kind where you try and raise the bottom sash. I'd go over there every now and then, I'd try and raise that window. Using my effort, throwing more money at it, I could not get the window open. anyway, finally, I'm looking through there and I can see the throne. There's God. Right next to him is the Lord Jesus Christ. But then I'm looking through the window, seated right next to the Lord was me. I'm seated there together with Jesus. And I'm starting to talk I'm listening to myself speak. And I'm in there and, you know, I've been seated right, my spirit man has been seated right there next to Jesus the whole time. And he's watching me, watching my soul throw money at the window. My spirit man would turn to Jesus and go, I'm embarrassed, I apologize. Gary's been watching the TV preachers again. I keep telling him just to turn it off. Excuse me, I'll see if I can stop this. And I yelled, my spirit yelled to my soul, go around to the front door. It's open. Everything in here belongs to you. Come on in. Don't tell me the Holy Ghost can't teach you. See, from God's point of view, what does it say right there? Isn't that not what it says? Verse 4 again, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to usward through Christ Jesus. Boy, we could just go on there. Now, let's back up. Let's finish the passage in chapter 1 that we were in. Let's read verse 21 again. It says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And as if that wasn't enough, you'd think that right there would be enough. And hath, past tense, put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. No wonder he said, therefore you go. Now I want you to go. All authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Well, what kind of authority? Well, that authority is above all principality. It is above all power. It is above all might. It is above every dominion. It is above every name that is named. Jim Martin one time sent me an email. He was real excited. He'd been, you know, Jim is, I don't know that he really reads in the Greek, but he's more of a scholar than I am. And he was doing some studies on this very passage, and he says, Gary, did you know this? And I didn't. He says there in verse 6, and it says, verses 5 and 6, where it says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and raised us up together, and made us sit together. He says, Gary, do you know in the Greek? He said, because we're so time conscious, in our mind we have it like this, 2,000 years ago, God quickened Jesus from the dead. We see him leaving the tomb, and then ascending to heaven, right? And seated at the right hand of the Father. Then 2,000 years later, we got saved. And one of us, you know, we got quickened. He says that word together, from God's point of view, when Christ went out of that tomb, you went out of the tomb with him. It's all the same event from God's point of view. You were quickened together with him. Raised up together with him. And seated together with him. All this time in Christ Jesus. From God's point of view, it's exactly the fulfillment of that dream. Go around to the door. Everything in here already belongs to you. Why do you keep standing out there and commanding the blessings? Come in. It all belongs to you. We're already there. But the eyes of our understanding has got to be open to that thing. So this is a good prayer for us. Let's look at it one more place. In practical, let's go over to Acts chapter 3. Peter was one of the first ones to really walk in this revelation. And y'all know this story, the man at the gate, beautiful. You know, and here is another, and it's a difficult one. It's a birth defect. There's a birth defect. This man never walked. If I remember right, yep, lame from his mother's womb. There it is. So Acts 3, starting in verse 1, says, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour of prayer, at the hour of prayer being the ninth hour, and a certain man, notice, lame from his mother's womb. Everyone say out loud, birth defect. Lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Now, Peter knows he has something. You got that? This is the message. We have the same thing that Peter has here. The eyes of our understanding has got to go from a victim mentality to a conquering mentality. Because everywhere we go, all day, on the job, in between the job, on your lunch break, we have the same thing with us that Peter had with him. And it's the name of the Lord Jesus. And it's all that authority that comes with that name. But the eyes of our understanding have got to be open to it. All right, Peter says, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Such as I have. I have something for you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping. See, to me, because I went to New York and prayed for Tommy Perez, who at that time was in his 20s, late 20s, and Tommy was born with cerebral palsy. He's never really walked. His little legs, I mean, they're just toothpicks. They're because he's never walked. There's no strength in his legs. He's in a wheelchair all the time. This man had never walked. I know his legs had to have that same look. So somehow, that molecule changer, the molecule changer, see, when Peter spoke that, somehow that it released that exercising that authority in the name. Well, so I have something. What do you have? You have power? Well, I have authority. And through that authority comes the power. Yeah, I have something for you. In the name. And when he spoke that, it released the power, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit, to flow into that man's ankles and feet and legs, not only given the ability to stand, but instantly, apparently, the strength to leap and jump and walk around. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. We have the same. We have the same. But the eyes of our understanding have got to be enlightened to that. Look at it again. He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement. They will be in Tulsa too.
Yes.
They're filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people and says, You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us? As though by our own power, you get that? As though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Now here it is. And his name. This is what Peter had. This is what we have. His name. We just read over there a while ago. Where's his name? It's above every power, every principality, every dominion, every name that is named. His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Let's think about it. Back up. Now look up here for a minute. I'm going to take you back again to the baptism of John. Y'all know when God created the heavens and the earth, he was creating it for his man Adam. And he created everything. Everything was beautiful. When it was all ready, he said, all right, now I'm going to make the man. Takes the clay, makes the physical body. And God did something for man that he did not do, that we don't see him doing. It just says he made the birds and the animals and the fish and then that they appeared. But with the man, he fashioned a body, but then it says he breathed the breath of life, something from the inside of God into the nostrils of Adam. We know it was a spirit. It was the spirit of his son, Jesus Christ. I saw it in a vision form one time. It was actually the second member of the Godhead that breathed. At least that nature was what was breathed into him. Okay, so man originally had the image, the nature of Christ on the inside. God made man in his own image. We're told that real plain. All right? Then God wanted man to have dominion. So he speaks words. Let them have dominion. Who is he talking to? Who is hearing those words? It's Adam, but it's also the same Holy Spirit. The one all the way down through there, light be. Let there be light, and there was light. Let the dry land appear, the dry land appear. Let the birds and the animals, let the fish and all of this stuff. And every time he would say, the Holy Spirit would do. Well, now he's still talking, and it's the same Holy Spirit listening. Let him have dominion. Well, you know what happened? Man fell, believed he acted on the words of the devil instead of the words of God. When he fell, his nature changed. Through sin, death entered. Man's spirit became corrupted. It wasn't anymore in the image of God. It became twisted and vile. The Holy Spirit had to, like that dove, had to lift off of man. Man no longer had that dominion. For 4,000 years, man didn't have it. And the devil thought he had man trapped because every new generation that was born with that same sin nature. There seemed to be no way out. Every new child that was born already fallen. The Holy Spirit can't anoint that fallen nature. So the devil says, I've got man locked up now because there's no way. But see, God had a bigger plan. And he interjected life, the seed of life, into the womb of a virgin. He, by the power of that same Holy Spirit, in seed form, Jesus was spawned by the Holy Ghost. No corruption in his spirit. That original, that same image in her, and a man is born after 4,000 years. Yeah, 4,000 years. It's that same nature that the original one had. Right? Trouble is, Adam is still alive. The descendants of Adam, not Adam himself, but his descendants are still populating the earth. And as long, God had given that dominion to Adam, and as long as Adam's alive, even the species of Adam, God can't reassign that dominion because God does not alter the thing that has gone out of his mouth. But if Adam was to die, then he would be free to assign that dominion to somebody else. So at the baptism of John, one thing's for sure, Jesus didn't come to have his sins washed away, did he? Why is he enduring this baptism thing? He's not there for the same reason everybody else was there. John didn't even understand it. He said, I need to be baptized by you. You don't need to be baptized by me. But what was really going on there, again, when John lays him down, see, that baptism is a type of death. It's a visual demonstration. What we do baptism for, it's an outward sign of an inward act. I'm declaring before the whole world the old Gary is dead, and I've been born again. Okay? Well, when Jesus did it, he's making a vow saying, Father, I know why I was born. I was born to die. My vow to you when John lays me down, I am dying in the place of Adam. Jesus didn't die for his own sins. He's dying as the substitute for Adam. So legally, when Christ made that vow, when he dies, the whole species of Adam dies. Legally, God in heaven is able to, like the gavel comes down in the courtroom. Yeah, God looks on the heart just like he looked on Abraham's heart when he raised that knife to kill Isaac. He says, oh, you don't need to do it. God looked on the heart and said, this is done. I accept it as done. Don't touch the child. Well, God did the same with Jesus. He said, this is done. He's really going to do it. And in the courtroom of heaven, it's like the original first Adam. The whole species, past, present, and future, died in Christ at that moment. When he's raised up out of the water, that's his demonstration of his faith what God had promised in the Old Testament, thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will my flesh see corruption. Father, I'm trusting you. Remember what he said? Into thy hands I commit my spirit. I'm trusting you. You're not going to leave me dead. You're going to quicken me to new life, raise me from the dead. That's why Christ is called the firstborn from the dead. He's the first man quickened from death to life out of that old species into the new. Now, at that moment, from God's point of view, Adam, the whole species of Adam, is dead. If Adam is dead, that authority basically returns to God, and he's free to reassign it to whoever he will. Well, who's a good candidate? Well, here's my son. I'm going to quicken him from the dead. I count it as being done today. That's why you hear, this is my beloved son. He might as well have said, my first son, Adam, the first one, he's dead now. Now, this is my son. And the Holy Spirit goes, this is the one that's to have dominion? Here he comes. From that moment on, now we see the Holy Spirit come to exercise dominion. Whatever Jesus says, now everything he says he did it by the leadership from his Father. Okay, but whatever Jesus says, you watch it. The Holy Spirit does. He cursed the fig tree. Spoke words to the fig tree. No man eat fruit of thee again forever. Just walks on by. Didn't lay hands on it. Didn't touch it. Just spoke words. And it tells us that fig tree dried up from the roots. How did that happen? There's that molecule changer again. He enforced the words spoken in authority. Jesus has all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Therefore you go. Now, that was a lot. You just don't know. I know you've heard it many times, but you just don't. I'm telling you, it is critical to our understanding. It's just part of the eyes of our understanding. You do not belong to that dead spirit. From God's point of view, there's only two kinds of people on the earth. Dead ones and alive ones. There's the species of Adam, which is all dead. That's why Jesus said, just let the dead bury the dead. All right? There's the species of Adam. They're all dead. And there's the species of God. The species spawned by the Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam. You're either born of Adam or you're born of Jesus. You're either dead or you're alive. If you're alive in Christ, that by your birthright is his name is your inheritance. Now it does take faith in his name. And that's part of why I'm teaching here tonight. See, it doesn't just say, notice how, are we still in Acts? Alright, notice it doesn't just say his name. Look at verse 16 again. And his name through something. Through faith in his name. That's why he keeps having me pound and pound and pound on this second man, the last Adam thing. So that to help the eyes of our understanding. Finally, if we were living now, after the end of this world, does that make sense? Okay, y'all know that this world and everything in it's going to with a big loud noise and a fervent heat is going to be dissolved, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Y'all do know we're going to be alive then. You know, we're still going to be existing, and we have all kinds of pictures in our mind of what's going to happen. You know we're going to have dominion, right? You understand that? We already have that same dominion now. That's why it says, and in the ages to come. But it's already now. We already have that dominion. We've got a live... See, and the dead species does not have that dominion. They don't. The Holy Spirit isn't anointing that dead life. He's anointing the life of Christ. Well, that life of Christ is found in His body. We are that body. The eyes of our understanding. But the devil's job is to say, oh man, that's really good. Chew on that for a little bit tonight before you go to bed. But tomorrow, the devil of same old will attack you. Same old problems you've been having. Same, you know, tires flat, dishwasher quit, and they gave me a pink slip at my job. And nobody likes me and everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat some worms, you know. That devil of same old is going to come and make you try and get you thinking you're just the same that you've always been. We are not just the same. We are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Okay, it'll help you. Go back to Ephesians, and we'll close with this. Ephesians chapter 1 again. Does it not say there that we are seated now together with Him? Didn't we read that? All right. We're going to start in verse 20, and I'm just going to phrase some of this into a present tense confession. Start getting it coming out of our mouth. I want to say that. Just say it after me. According to Ephesians 2, I have been quickened together with Christ.
I have been quickened together with Christ.
Raised up together with Christ.
Raised up together with Christ.
And I am right now seated together in heavenly places in Christ. That means I have been raised from the dead.
That means I have been raised from the dead.
And right now, my spirit has a position of authority.
My spirit has a position of authority.
Seated in heavenly places. At God's right hand. Right now I am seated. Far above. All principality. All power. All might.
And all dominion.
And every name that is named. Has been subjected to me. Because I have the name of Christ. I have dominion not only in this world. But also in that which is to come. I am part of Christ's body. And God has put all things under His feet.
Which means they're under my feet.
I have authority.
In the name of Jesus.
I am not a victim.
I am more than a conqueror.
Hallelujah. Now we've got to not have a nice little Bible study about that. You know, isn't that a good little Bible study? Kudos. And then tomorrow, I'm so defeated and I got so many problems and I got to call somebody and, you know. Come on. We got to rise up, start walking like who we are. There's a whole world out there that's waiting to see the sons and daughters of the living God.
Yes.
Rise up and walk in the dominion that we really have. It's part of our inheritance.
Yes.
Amen. I'm telling you right now, there's only one place for that faith to come, and that's the Word of God. We've got to hear this kind of teaching. You need it again and again and again and again, because everything in this world is designed to tell you, you ain't nothing, you ain't got nothing, and you ain't going to have nothing. You know, truth is, we're already seated together with Him. We already have dominion that's above every name that is named. We've got to demonstrate that to the world. Hallelujah. He's reminding me of something I want to share with you. Before I was a Christian, this was in the real estate days when Sue and I were making quite a bit of money. But I was drinking a lot. I was an alcoholic, but I was a functioning alcoholic. I could do better about half looped, and you wouldn't even know I was drunk. But I was all the time nipping away at my Southern Comfort. You know, I had a flask on me all the time, and money was my God. I just tell you straight, and I lived for the dollar. And I was a hard worker though, and I lived on booze and coffee. Man, I'd be up until 3 or 4 in the morning closing deals and having people in the office there and teaching my agents. Go home, get a few hours sleep, be back down there by 7 in the morning the next day. This went on for years. Now during that season of my life for 10 years or more, I had migraine headaches, and I mean the kind that's debilitating almost. The pain would come, and it'd come fairly often, at least once a week, sometimes more often than that. The pain would get so intense that it would take away my peripheral vision. I would get tunnel vision. It's like I was looking through a telescope. I mean, it was just excruciating. There were times I couldn't drive. I'd have to pull over until, you know, sometimes for 30 minutes until it would pass enough to where I could drive, because I couldn't see peripheral well enough to trust myself to drive. Those came regularly during that time period. Now, I'm just as lost as I can be. I'm just a complete heathen, making money, living for the almighty dollar. I had 60 agents working for me in that real estate office, okay? And they knew I'd had those headaches. They knew also to leave me the heck alone when I had one, okay? Because, I mean, they were bad, and I had no tolerance for you whatsoever. I mean, I'm in pain, and, you know, and boy, they could tell, because usually I'd just be sitting somewhere holding my head. Well, during those days, we had this old lady who worked there. Of course, I say old lady. She was about the age I am now. Maybe a little bit older. Her name was Jean Kreiner. I'll never forget her. And now, she was a tongue-talking, Bible-toting, Jesus-witnessing Christian. We'd see her walking up the steps towards the bullpen, we had a big area where everybody made phone calls and everything. The shout would go out, "Jean's coming, and she's got her Bible with her." Whew, suddenly everybody had appointments they had to go on, because they knew she'd witness to you, man, all the time, and she'd love on you. She's kind of gruff, though, too. She said, you know you're going straight to hell, right? You know that, right? You need to get saved, Gary. You need to get saved, you know? And but she just, you know, you can't hit an old woman, you know. And she could get away with stuff that not everybody could get away with. Well, I remember this day, just like, and this was before I got saved. It was several more months before I got saved. I don't even know if Michael had started coming around yet or not. But anyway, I remember where I was sitting, right at the front, the doors coming into the office. We had some chairs there in the lobby. And I'm sitting in one of those easy chairs, and I just got my head in both hands. I mean, the pain is just this pounding, intense pain. I can't function. I can't think. I'm just waiting, hopefully, till it passes. Well, Jean comes walking out, you know. She had this Bible that was so big, we called it the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, she always had that Bible with her. And I didn't even see her coming, but I recognized her voice. And she said, "Gary, have you got another one of those headaches?" And I said, "Yes, Jean, it's terrible." And she said, "Would you mind if I prayed for you?" And at that moment, I said, "Jean," I just wanted to get rid of her, be honest with you. But I said, "Jean, if you think it'll help, just go right ahead and pray." Now, I didn't have any faith at all that it would help. Now, I'm expecting a nice little Baptist prayer. I grew up Baptist, okay? You know, "Oh, great omnipotent Father, if it be thou will, and if it be pleasing in thy sight, please allow thy son, your servant, your..." You know, I'm expecting some kind of prayer like that. The next thing, I'm not even looking at her. The next thing I feel is her hand on my head. She goes, "In the name of Jesus, you foul, tormenting spirits, come out of him in Jesus' name, and don't you ever enter again." And she goes, "That handled it." She just walked out the door and left. Didn't even wait to see if there's any results or anything. She said, "That did it." And she left. And I'm sitting there. The office, I'm not the only... There were several of my agents there. Sue was at the switchboard. Sue was there, I mean, on the telephone thing. She was sitting right there, saw the whole thing. And we're all just kind of, you know, with our mouth dropped open. And Sue goes, "Did it help?" And I went, "It's gone. The pain is gone." Now, I want you to know, that was well over a quarter of a century ago. And I've never, ever had another one like it. Never. In all these years. Now, there's a little old woman who knew that she had dominion over those devils. She knew what it was. She knew it was a spirit. And she also knew she had something, just like Peter at the Gate Beautiful. "Such as I have, Gary, I've got something you don't have. Do you mind if I pray for you? I've got something, Gary, that you don't have." She didn't say that, but I look back at it now. Yeah. In the name. Whew. And I've never... And I was lost as you can be. Wasn't my faith. Took authority over those devils, cast them out, and they've never been able to come back. Isn't that good stuff? Now, see, we need to be doing that. We need to all become Jean Kreiners, okay? Sue and I were talking today about Jean. Remember, she's probably the one who prayed Michael Muccio into that place. It was probably the prayers of Jean Kreiner that wound up God bringing Michael, because there was about 25 of us got saved out of that heathen bunch. You know, praise God, most of them still serving the Lord. You know, not all of them are full-time ministry, but most of them are still walking with the Lord today, all these years later. Praise God. Isn't that good stuff? Yeah. We've got to know our authority and just start acting like who we are. Amen. All right, that's enough for tonight.